Welcome to Care Tech and Tips. I'm your co-host, Bobby Clark, with my friend,
Barry Johnson.
There you go.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody's doing okay.
Yeah.
So we're here to get rocking.
Yeah, I heard a commercial the other day that told me there's a quitter's day in the middle of January. So yeah. Hopefully you didn't quit. You kept your resolutions and you're still going.
I had a solution to that. I just didn't have any resolutions.
There you go.
It worked out pretty well for me.
But then you quit resolution. So maybe I don't know. Maybe that could be a way around.
For sure. So I think we got a grab bag today, don't we?
Yes, we do.
A little bit of everything.
Yes, we do.
Everything from
including things that probably aren't exactly tech, but, they're helpful.
Tech adjacent, maybe.
Tech adjacent, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get it started. Go for it, my friend.
Well, a couple of things. You let me roll with this jelly. So we are absolutely talking about scams, and that we are going to do a couple of scam descriptions every episode for the next few episodes instead of just really doing one big one. We might put them together later, I guess. But so we were on a couple of scams before. We talked about phone scams and email scams, phishing, things like that. So go back and look at and listen to that if you haven't already looked at that. But we were going to talk about now Medicare scams. And there are quite a number of fraudsters who have used Medicare as their vehicle to get and steal personal and financial information from our loved ones. And so one of the things we want to make sure you do is keep in mind and also talk to your loved ones that you're taking care of. Don't share your medical information. Don't share your financial information over phone or email. And if you have to talk to Medicare, do so directly. Find out what those numbers are. Make sure they understand what those numbers are. And they use them very deliberately. So a call in the middle of the night, a call in the middle of the day, asking for Medicare or trying to get them some kind of fake updated services is probably not what it seems to be. So most of these things, when you're trying to avoid scams, are about making sure you use the right information, making sure that they don't fear talking to you about things they're not sure of. And if they're unsure, they should stop. They should not provide any information. Hang up. Have that conversation later. If they're legitimate, they'll call you back. They'll contact you other ways. And you can always make sure that you're on the right path. So that's certainly what you do to avoid health and medical scams is you don't give your information.
I think that's a good bit of advice all around.
I think so too.
Volunteer too much information in general. I've seen that a few times with some of my relatives who'll get a phone call, say like after they've been registered with probate. And they get a phone call saying, "Hey, I'd like to buy your property. Our company buys your property." And this one relative I know goes into way too much detail with that person on the phone about the property and what situation he's in and all those kinds of things. And don't offer too much information for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a call that's unsolicited, and then they start asking you a lot of questions and want you to voluntary things, especially like, I don't know, your name, address, your birth date, your social security number, and all those kinds of things. Just don't do it. Hang up.
And if you're unsure at all, hang up. You can always call back later. There was another one you brought up that I thought was pretty cool. And apparently there are now toll booth scams.
Yeah.
So they call you up, say, "Hey, you were driving," and apparently, even if you weren't, they're trying to hopefully confuse you and say, "You have a missing toll charge, maybe from years ago, and you need to pay it. So give me your credit card information and whatnot." And they're most likely the same kind of things. And now, again, it's the same method with a different goal, right? I'm pressuring you to pay for something that you don't need or didn't do or didn't affect. And so you need to look, make sure you use known toll rolls. Make sure you know where you're going. If you've got someone who's susceptible to this kind of thing, maybe there are things you can do to prep them to say, "No, you don't have any tolls. We checked." Use electronic payment systems when you can. Be wary of unofficial kinds of collectors and make sure you keep receipts if you have that ability. So if you have a way to look and see where you've been, you can do that. And then report it, which is another thing that we should say to a lot of people, is that there are ways to report some of these scams. And to get the scammers into a place where maybe law enforcement or Better Business Bureau can have as much information about it as possible. So that's trust your instincts. When something feels not right, stop.
Speaking of instincts, so I got a mail, a piece of mail yesterday that said that Mr. Johnson, your data has been part of a data breach. We're a company that does a lot of work with medical providers and with doctors, and you had some data that was leaked about, I don't know, 6 to 9 months ago, and we've contacted our business partners, and now we're at the point where we're connecting the end users about this thing. So, but if you're, since we're doing this for you, we're letting you know, we're also going to provide you with some free credit monitoring. And I smiled for a moment and I looked and it's like, the free credit mark, let me see what company they're using. And it's a company that I had never heard of. And honestly, they may be completely legit, but it smelled a lot like a scam to me. Because, how convenient. When you need your credit monitored, you have to give them information, including your social security number, to be able to let them monitor your credit. Well, if you don't know the company that's monitoring your credit, you don't have a kind of trust with them. Why would you give up that information to them?
Absolutely.
So in my opinion, the thing to do in that case is if you're worried about your data has been leaked somewhere and you're worried about people, doing some identity theft or anything along those lines, go and freeze your credit. It's free to do. Each one of the credit agencies out there offer an online way to do that. It's fairly simple. And if you get in the case where you need to open a new credit line or you need to get a loan or anything like that, it's super simple to go back to these websites and unfreeze it for 24 hours or unfreeze it for a given number of days, so that you can get your credit check done or your loan application filed and they can check it and all that kind of stuff. And then it'll automatically go back to frozen. So
I think it's a really good practice to know this kind of stuff, to be aware of. And also, so to do that, also there also are ways for you to freeze credit. You can go through the credit agencies, obviously, but I think some local banks have ways for you to do this too. And and you can even whitelist people who can check your credit. So you can say, hey, Wells Fargo, I'm getting ready to buy a Honda. And so the Honda dealership around the corner is going to probably check my credit. And you can let that through. There's ways for you to do that. So have a conversation with your banker. You should probably have a financial person anyway. Most of us, especially those who we're taking care of, are probably old enough that their situations are complicated enough. They should have somebody with knowledge of financial stuff so you'd be talking to. So have that conversation.
And none of this is to make you paranoid, but pay attention whenever you are asked to offer up information that could be used to do credit related things or to, you maybe think out taking out a loan or get a credit card in a name, all the information that you have to do to apply for that kind of stuff. Be careful about giving out that information to anybody else and be sure that when you do apply for a loan or a credit card, that you're actually applying with the true company and not through some intermediary.
And that might take a little work and a little effort to find out what those contacts are, but it's worth your time because you would not believe the people and the extent that people will go to defraud you.
It's true. It's true.
So there's our scam segment for today's episode. And so we'll probably do a few more later. And if you have any ideas of one in particular you want us to add, of course, after you've subscribed and written a review and given us your feedback on this, please also send us what you would like us to follow into. We'll follow up on it.
Yeah, for sure. No joke. All right. So where are we going now? We talked about scams right now, and I think we have a few other things on our list. I think you wanted to talk a little bit about food, didn't you, Bobby?
Okay. So this is a funny story. So, if I'm with my mom, and mom's for those who don't know, mom's in a official facility, but I've made her home as watchable as possible by me so that we can take care of her, taking her to an assisted living place. So, and one of those things I have to do every once in a while is I say to mom, hey, do you have everything you need? Got to go to the store. And she said, yeah, I need some more insurance. I said, oh, okay, I can do that. No problem. Pick up some insurance, come back, no problem. Well, lo and behold to me, Ensure comes in lots of different flavors, a ton of them, about 10 of them. And they're all different, and they all have these names like Ensure Protein, Ensure Plus. And if you don't use Ensure, you have probably another one, but they got just as many different types too. So what I thought would be useful, and I'm not sure if I'm going to talk through all of them, but I'm going to certainly say we have a list that we're going to put in the show notes that will let you know all the different insurers that are out there. And like I said, there are 10 of them. Six was enough for me to get, what am I buying? So I had to actually call her back and find out that she uses Insure Plus and pick that one. But there are different ones for different ailments. Like if you're lactose intolerant, there's an Insure Clear. Did you know that? If you want to do max protein or high protein, you can get different levels of protein. And then for people like my mom who have a sensitivity to calcium and making sure that she gets enough for bone safety and density, you may want to do those kind of things. So knowing the differences between the food that your loved one is doing is essential. And it's not as easy as just saying, well, it's Insure. I can just pick that up. No. So I had a real embarrassing moment when I had to stop somebody in the store and say, okay, which one of these do I use? And then I ended up calling her and figuring out that, okay, you use Plus. So, you know, and there's all an Insure Original that comes in certain months, but it does have a lot. There are a lot of differences between the two of these. Everything from high protein, there's even one for surgery that you probably won't use. So just, you know, just have that conversation. About what they're doing. And, you know, you have to also know your loved one's ailments. So like, are they lactose intolerant? Are they allergic to peanuts? You know, when you're shopping for somebody else, you have to pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And the tech note of some of this is that you can actually go to many grocery stores because of the pandemic, and you can get them to buy things for you. And they have pretty good apps that will let you see these kinds of things before you get in the store. So you can see, oh, there are 10 different insurers. I might need to ask them before I go which one they use. And so I just thought it was a funny story for me because I got a little education about how that is. You know, there's other things too. You have to be careful because as you're helping loved ones who are male and female, there are things you have to buy. And if you're a guy, you may not know about those things. You might want to ask somebody and have a little training. So, you know, that's, you know, buying for your loved one has made me more appreciate the idea of detail and asking some of those questions. So anyway.
When in doubt, ask. When in doubt, ask, for sure.
And prep. So don't let your grocery store run turn into an hour when it should be 10 minutes. So
that's cool.
I thought that was funny.
You know, I love when we have these conversations. Like we play off of each other, and we have you'll talk about a particular subject, and while we're talking about it, you'll like spark two or three different ideas in my head that'll just pop out, and it made me think about a couple of things. This conversation about grocery stores and that kind of stuff. I don't think we've talked about this before, but my dad, I went to Costco with him the other day. And you know, he's got a lot of particular things that he likes to buy at Costco, and we spent a good bit of time in there. And especially like non-prescription drugs, you can get a lot of really good deals on generic non-prescription drugs. So he does a lot of that. But when we were leaving, you know, you and I probably don't think twice about using a self-scanning checkout thing where you go up and you scan your own stuff. But you know, it was kind of neat. I was in there. He looked at me and he says, "Have you ever used one of those?" And I'm like, yeah, I use this all the time. So I've never done one. Come on, let's go. Let's try it out. And there's things you take for granted from a tech standpoint. We're so comfortable with that. Maybe a lot of people aren't. But, you know, it didn't take him but just a minute or two to get the hang of it. You know, once he realized what he was trying to scan and how to interact with the thing, you know, as far as, okay, scan your thing, put it over this place over here, where it weighs it, and follow the prompts. And he got it just super quick. And I just said, you know, hey, you could do this at your regular grocery store too. It's just one of those things. But it did kind of make him laugh when I said, but beware, some of them are fussier than others. There's some grocery stores that I call it the little robot cashier is going to be fussy with you. And some of them don't care. So just treat it pretty much the same and do it the right ways. And
you know, that does bring up an idea that as caretakers, we are often caretakers of their tech savvy. So, you know, sometimes taking people through that initial tech discussion, like you showing them how to use the scan cart, is a necessary thing. You know, you have to get them to, they have a situation of trust with you. Mm-hmm. And so this technology is new, brand new, and they can distrust it. And honestly, you want to enable some of that distrust because that's what gets you through some of the scams, right? Right. So you want them to be skeptical about some things, but then sometimes you have to walk them through this. You know, that you got to be prepared to do that as a caretaker. Say, okay, here's mom, here's the way we're going to get through the remote today. Here's the thing that we're going to do with the telephone to stop scammers. Or the security system works this way. You may have to explain it more than one time. So prepare yourself for that. That's not a fault on their side or a labor of your that you have to endure. That sometimes is a prep thing that you can do to make your life and their life better. So.
For sure. And along those lines, one thing that I've tried to remind myself of is that just because I think it's cool to do it this particular way or to have these options is I don't actually need to tell them about a lot of that. Like I find myself where, you know, my dad will ask me about how to do a particular thing on his phone and I'll say, okay, you can do it this way. But I have in the back of my mind going, but you know, you could do it this way over here or here's a different way over here. So I had to kind of tell myself that, dude, stop talking. Think about the most simple way or the most rememberable way to do whatever it is that he's asking you about and leave it alone. Because just because you think it's cool to have multiple options to do this and that, you know, it's doing this very cool tech thing to make this happen, he doesn't care. He just wants it to do the thing he's wanting to do. So I find myself having to kind of back myself off on that.
You have to almost tell yourself and before you walk in a situation like that, simplest way works.
Simplest way works, and don't geek out.
Don't be complicated.
You know, I think that's a simplest way works is a good way of putting it. Because I think about this in my former job is that I always found it was if you wanted someone to do something or have a particular action, you need to make the or you wanted them to do the right thing, that you need to make the right thing to do the easiest thing to do, and I think that's kind of universal, and I think it applies to this too. So we were talking about grocery stores, we're talking about checkouts, and then we got off on tech just a little bit, but I'm going to circle back to food for just a moment because I was thinking about allergies and balanced diets and that sort of stuff and things that I've noticed with my dad is that he loves all kinds of vegetables and especially like tomatoes. Sometimes he'll kind of go off the deep end with tomatoes and eat way too many, at least in my opinion, way too many. He loves them and I'm not going to say anything wrong about that. But he also has this tendency to get gout every once in a while. And I believe, and I may be completely wrong on this, but I believe tomatoes have this tendency to kind of kick up gout from time to time. And he will go off eating a whole, you know, go on a kind of a binge of little tomatoes for a few days, and then he'll have gout problems, and then he'll fuss about it, and you know, and I'll be like, you know, man, maybe you might want to back off on the tomatoes just a little bit, yeah. And we'll talk about it. But you know, it used to bother me, but then I think, you know what, I don't drink very much, but occasionally I'll have a couple of drinks, and I'll have a hangover the next morning, and I'm like, you know what. Why did I do that? And we're all the same way. So I consider his gout a tomato hangover in a way.
Yeah, you gotta. So I think tomatoes have an effect on that, but say something like shrimp has even a bigger effect on it.
Oh yeah,
my dad would get into those kind of things. We loved peeled shrimp, and he would eat it till his, you know, till he was sick of it, and then have a serious bout with gout down the road. So my mother would get mad at him because he would eat that much shrimp. But you know what? Part of me was like, okay, there's an extreme to both of this. You shouldn't be eating shrimp every day for the next 2 weeks, and that way you pay for it. But you shouldn't say to him, you should never have any shrimp anymore in life. So you, right. You got to figure out a way to be in the middle. And depending on how close you are to either side is probably how serious the reaction is. You all have to have, every diet has to have a cheat day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's got to be, or it's just not sustainable. So sustainability, as one of my doctors told me, is way better than perfection. Perfection is not attainable. I want you to sustain it. You get off the wagon, get back on, that kind of thing. That's the better way to handle it. So I agree with you. You got to let them have a little bit. You know, my wife and my sister-in-law get on my father-in-law a little bit. And if I come to my mind, I go, let the man eat a little bit of ice cream. So, but you know, but his blood sugar's too high. So you have to react to that in a way that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I get
one of those things.
Yeah, it is. It have to live life. Life can't be excruciating. If life's excruciating, is it worth it? So, you know, there's some pleasures of life that you have to almost say, okay, we're going to deal with that cause.
Right. In the grand scheme of fun, pleasurable things, that's not, tomatoes are not bad. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well.
That's what it gets down to it.
Yeah.
Ah.
4 bushels of tomatoes? No, that's terrible. So, but yeah. You know, it's extreme.
When in doubt, moderate. Or moderation
always
all
better.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. What else we got on our rundown here?
You had something about deleting your mother's mail or someone's mail.
Yeah. When my mother passed a couple of years back, I had a list of things that I needed to get done. There was things around financial accounts. There was probate. There was canceling subscriptions. There was all kinds of things. And, you know, we've kind of been slowly working through those. And over the last little bit, we've pretty much knocked all of them off the list. And the only thing left I had on there was delete my mom's email, because there's just an account hanging out there. And that made me think a little bit about, first, I haven't done it yet. I need to go ahead and go take care of that. There's not that much that was ever tied to it. So I think I'm going to make that go away. It's a little nostalgic trying to get yourself, you know, talked into actually doing that, because you're completing the list, but the other time you're like, okay, it's all over now. So that's an interesting thing that popped up in my brain that I didn't think would. But because I was thinking about that, it made me think about, in the last week or so, I believe that I've gotten a few pop-ups on Facebook for someone's birthday, and the particular person has passed away a few years back, whose birthday it was. And it made me think about, there's a lot of trouble with some folks have a lot of trouble with, they didn't have, you know, they maybe had a relative or a loved one pass who had a Facebook account, and they didn't have any credentials for this person, but yet this account is still out there like the person's alive. And, you know, some people like that. They feel like that, okay, yeah, that person's always alive on Facebook to me. I can always go back and look at their stuff, and, you know, it's there. And then others, you know, don't want to be reminded about that. And so it made me look and ask a few questions about, how do you get a Facebook account taken down for a person if you don't have the credentials for that person's accounts to go delete it? And what I found out was, it's really not that difficult, but you have to have a few things about it. So there is a place on Facebook. If you go to www.facebook.com/help, there is a help section there, and there is a search feature. If you type into that search feature, I think it's deceased user or how to handle a deceased person's account, it'll pop up and let you know what to do. But the gist of it is you go and you fill out a few forms, and you can decide whether or not, if you want to memorialize this person's account, so keep it out there, let people know that the person's deceased, but keep it alive kind of as a memorial, or to request it to be deleted. To do that, though, if you decide to do that, you have to show some proof of the person's death. You can have a death certificate. You can have a link to a obituary for that person or a memorial card. And you might have to put in your relationship to the deceased, to prove that you're a family member. And you submit the request. Facebook will then kind of take all that into account, look at the account, look at the provided documents, and decide whether or not they can take that down for you. So I haven't gone through that, but I wanted to make sure that that was a thing, and how you could do that, and provide a little information on that. So there are other ways with other services, I'm sure. I don't know how that goes with X, or used to be Twitter. Apple has some particular ways where you can go and set legacy contacts, so that if you happen to pass away, that the people that you named as legacy contacts can control your digital assets or your digital identity there. I know you've run into some of that stuff before, haven't you?
Yeah, I ran into it in a good way and a bad way. The bad way, of course, my sister passed away a couple of years ago. I guess it's almost 3 years ago now. And they were about to come out with this feature. As a matter of fact, they came out with a feature in June or July. And my sister passed away right before it. And so we had talked about doing it, just myself, my mom, and my wife, and she didn't do it. And I paid for it. We all paid for it in a way, because she bought a computer, had an iPad, and we could not get into it. And this relates back to your example of your mom's email, you know, the thing you might, you're going to throw away because, you know, what good is it to you? I had to make a big decision on, you know, you were involved with it, where I had to say, okay, look, I'm not going to be able to get to this data. I need to reset this device, make it something that we can use. And it was quite a long time for me to do that and get to a point where I could do that. So I can certainly appreciate being in a situation where you have this possibility and you think, well, I just could remember the password, or I could just set this up a different way, or maybe there's a way to break into it and get all the things that were meaningful to myself, my mom, and my family. So that didn't happen. And so we had to sort of punt and say, okay, you know, well, now we have a machine I can use that does helpful things. I actually do some of the podcasts on that machine every once in a while, so I get remissful about that kind of thing. But what you do here is preparation, just like we talked about the wills and financial data and having these conversations about what your situation is. You also need to realize that there are some products like this. The legacy setup at Apple is really good now, where you can set that up and give that information to a loved, some loved one. So if you're not able to do anything, they can do something with it. So I certainly appreciate it. And like you said, there are other, you know, Facebook's one of these mediums, so is Apple, but there are other mediums too. So things like Twitter and LinkedIn and a few other places, they all have procedures on how to do that. And as a caretaker, you should be familiar with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I try to do this about once a year. I'll try to go through and look at all these accounts that I have and kind of do a review once a year. I'm actually due for one of those right now, as a matter of fact. I'm kind of trying to tie it to about the time of the year I'm going to do tax stuff. This is a good time to review that sort of stuff.
It's a good thing. So it's a good thing to do. At least yearly.
Yeah, for sure. So to get that information about Facebook, I went out and asked ChatGPT how to do it. You know, I'm a big fan of ChatGPT. I heard another podcaster that I listened to the other day call it Chatty G, and now I can't get that out of my head. Now it's I refer to it as Chatty G. Well, I asked those questions. It was able to give me what I needed, and then I could go and verify what it was telling me to do. But I know you've been using ChatGPT and other AI a good bit lately, and I know you want to talk a little bit about that, and let's go for it.
Yeah, so, you know, this has become a part of our lives. This service does amazing things. I use it to get information about for this podcast, but I always remind myself that this process can be flawed. And so the information you get, you have to check sources, make sure that you ask for sources that you can refer to. And most of the systems now that are good are starting to give you that automatically, but make sure you ask. You have to prompt well. The first time I got the information for Ensure, apparently there's an Ensure out there that ain't a protein drink, and it gave that to me first. And I said, no, this is what you need to do. So prompting and correcting are part of the AI life. So make sure you do those well, and make sure you verify the data that's given back to you, because sometimes it can be crazy. That's called hallucinations, actually, is the technical term for it, and it does happen. So I consider AI to be a very smart 17-year-old giving me information. And what would I do if I had that 17-year-old give me information? I would check it.
Yeah, so you'd ask them, you'd ask the person that said this 17-year-old, what's the answer to this? And then they'd go off and look it up and come back, and you'd say, okay, that sounds pretty good, but where did you find that information? And then that person would go off and bring you the book where they found it, or they would show you the website, and you'd look at the website and say, that's not a legitimate source.
Source reputation is something now that we all will have to deal with. You know, anybody can write a website. It doesn't take much. And just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. So verify. You need multiple sources. You need to check things. If you're blessed with knowledge like Barry and I have, use it. Don't assume that every AI knows more than you do, because sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't, for sure. Yeah. And it comes down to trust, I guess, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of sources on the internet that I trust because I have gotten good answers for them in the past. If I can tell that ChatGPT has used, or if I can ask ChatGPT, which sources did you use? And I look at the source list and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I trust those guys. Then I feel a whole lot better about the answers, for sure.
And the other thing I wanted to say about AI, because, you know, we always have this conversation, Barry, is just like the scams we talked about where you don't give personal information, you shouldn't be giving personal information to your AI either. It doesn't need to know your social security number. doesn't need to know your bank account and your bank account number. Those things you should protect, because AI has a, has an inherent feature in it where the model that they use builds itself in a way that it could reveal information that you give it. So if I ask a situation about a question, the AI believes that it can take that response, use it for the next person who asks a similar question about it. So don't introduce data that you don't want other people to know. Your social security number, your PIN number, your passwords, they don't belong in an AI prompt.
Even names and birthdays and anything that's identifying information.
No, it's none of that's necessary. Agreed. And most of the time, what you're asking for can be gotten from a general list of information that's already out there. So don't make that a leak possibility for you. So
For sure.
Yeah, you had a really cool idea about AI with saving links that I learned too. You should tell them about that.
So yeah, one of the cool things I like about AI is the ability to have this conversation back and forth with the AI to get to the answers that I need. But sometimes I would really like to remember how I went about that. It's just not a little concise bit of data that I'm going to get out of it. It may be a process, or it may be a long process for that matter. Most AIs these days, especially ChatGPT, has this ability to create a link back to the conversation. And that's handy for a couple of things. Instead of trying to cut and paste this entire conversation off into a note where I can refer back to it later, you can just write it in OpenAI, ChatGPT's case, there is a mechanism where you can right click on the conversation and one of the options is get a link to this conversation. So you can get a link that's a web address that can take you right back to that whole conversation. It's handy for being able to refer back to it later, but it's also handy to, send to your friendly neighborhood podcast partner and have him take a look at it. So that's a handy thing, or it may even be better. I haven't even thought about till right now, but it may be a good thing to kind of help you verify that the data is as good as you think it is. So, hey, I think this sounds pretty good, but what do you think about this conversation or this answer? So you could send the link off and then have another trusted friend take a look at it. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't know we could do that. So that's why you learn all the stuff all the time, even us.
There you go. And if you guys out there have had any good success with OpenAI or with ChatGPT or with any of the other AIs out there, like to share some information about it, please let us know. We are caretechandtips@gmail.com, and we love getting email from you. If there are topics that we haven't talked about that you would like us to, we'd send it to that same email address and let us know about it.
Yep, we are very anxious to. We have a long list of topics that we came up with before we started this podcast, but we would love to intermix that with things that you want to hear us talk about. So that'd be a great thing. And again, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you tell us what you think and give us a rating or two so we can spread the community as big and as wide as possible.
That's cool. So I think we're coming about to the end of our time. But before we do, I want to take one moment and bring up our list of where our listeners are from and kind of give a shout out to the different areas. Okay, I'm just going to take a look and see where our listeners are from. And in our podcast host, we're going to go back and look at the geographic stats. So far in the lead right now is still Chicago, Illinois, followed closely by Clemson, South Carolina, and Seneca, South Carolina. And that's not a surprise. Those two towns are fairly close to us. Okay. We've got some folks from Columbia, Midtown in South Carolina, Redmond, Washington. Shout out to Redmond. Good to see you guys on the list. Got some folks from Charlotte. We have some folks from Malden, South Carolina, St. Andrews, South Carolina. Here's a new one that's popped up recently, and I would love to hear if this is somebody that we actually know or if this is just organic growth here. It's from a place called Ken Carl, Colorado. It's Ken Caryl, Colorado. Never heard of that town. I think it's kind of near Denver, somewhere up in that area. So if you're calling there, if you want to shoot us a note, caretechandtips@gmail.com. I would just love to hear if you're somebody who just found us or if you're a relative. We can go either way. We got some folks from Birmingham, Alabama, from Homeland Park, from Augusta, from Abbeville, Paradise, Pennsylvania. Columbia, South Carolina, Clearwater, South Carolina, Walhalla, South Carolina, Roxboro, North Carolina, Oklahoma City, Prospect Park, New Jersey, San Antonio, Texas, Monroe, North Carolina, Boston, Massachusetts, Centerville, South Carolina, Cheshire, Connecticut. Let's see. And then we have a couple of crazy outliers in Moscow, Russia, and somewhere Denmark. So there we go. We got a pretty good spread here of folks around the country and around the world. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I think we're coming to our close, and just wanted to do a shout out there to all the folks who are listening to us, and we'd love to spread that out more. So if you get a chance, please tell your friends about us, and we'll always appreciate good ratings on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we hope you guys have a great couple of weeks till we talk to you again.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is coming up, so, you know, guys, start working on it.
There you go. Absolutely. All right, everybody. Take care. Okay.